This is the Greg Belford Show.
Good morning, my friend. The marketplace of ideas is open. It's great to have you along. Welcome to the Greg Belford Show. Big stories this morning. The U.S. Supreme Court considering immunity, not only for Donald Trump, but this is an incredibly important case because what immunity does a president have from prosecution? What acts can a president then legit? They heard arguments for nearly 3 hours yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court on this, and which normally they don't, that doesn't extend that long. Maybe an hour you'll hear arguments. So for about 3 hours, I think it was close to 3 hours that they heard arguments over this. And of course, there are the questions then involving Donald Trump, whether is he immune from prosecution in a case charging him with plotting to overturn the 2020 presidential election. And so we'll see the repercussions of this. And there have been legal experts. I'm not one. So, but as you listen to a lot of the legal experts, what they're saying is the Supreme Court's got to, you know, is going to want to be careful here. You don't want a president feeling that, obviously, when you're taking official actions and you're doing things, you don't want to curtail his ability to be able to act too much. And yet at the same time, you don't want to give the president complete carte blanche. So this is a very important case, and I think, again, the amount of time that the justices asked questions and had conversation about this shows what an important story this is. So the U.S. Supreme Court seemed skeptical of the president's claim of absolute immunity from prosecution. So, again, where is that line? When it comes to, you know, what we've seen going on with Trump and all of the cases against Trump, and it's just been absolutely incredible. The timing of this was by design meant to hit Trump all at the same time, and that's what we've seen this week. And, of course, you can't say it's not political, what we have seen. It's I think you are not being fair if that's the conclusion that you arrive at. So the U.S. Supreme Court, very big story this morning. Understandably, there have been important issues. I think the role of the Supreme Court right now in deciding some of these issues, as we see what's going on in the country, is incredibly important. And it's one of the reasons that I'm really glad that Donald Trump was able to put so many people on the bench. So other big stories, of course, the campus protests that we have seen. And this is, it's, the violence that we've seen on campus has extended across the country, a number of other universities. One of the ones most notable clashes that we saw yesterday was at Emory University. And there were clashes then yesterday morning, groups that were holding signs and chanting Free Palestine from the river to the sea. But police were there. One junior at Emory, Caleb Bunch, attended the demonstration and returned Thursday evening. He said, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the amount of police presence seemed unnecessary. Well, it's a little alarming, the police presence. Seriously? What are you in it? You got your head in the sand? You aware of what's going on? So protesters are there, and again, and what we're seeing now, and there's a story at the Washington Examiner on this morning, is that you've got a lot of other people now who are involving themselves in these protests. And Washington Examiner says pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University and Yale University have been circulating a guidebook to activists across the country, encouraging more occupations and teaching them how to be successful. And this is a pamphlet titled, First We Take Columbia. And then subtitled, Lessons from the April 1968 Occupations Movement. So it's not known who wrote this, but it's being distributed by hand at Columbia University and elsewhere. And so they're publishing guidebooks as to, you know, what's happening. And as I have told you over the course of the last couple of days, one of the things that we have seen is there are a number of agitators who, they're not students at any of these universities. They're looking to capitalize on what's going on. They've got their own agenda. So they're outside the gates and trying to get in, and it's just crazy. So now the University of Southern California yesterday decided to scrap its main stage graduation ceremony because the campus then has been literally overrun with anti-Israel protests. And so they canceled their main stage graduation ceremony. And the university blamed new safety measures that were put in place this year for the cancellation of the ceremony. And this then just further, you know, infuriates protesters at USC. But USC said that because of new measures, it would take too long to process the large number of guests. And they said, we understand that this is disappointing. However, we're adding many new activities and celebrations and so on. But you got a number of people who are not responding well to it. And this all started because USC called off a speech by their valedictorian earlier this month, pointing to security concerns after she was accused of promoting anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist rhetoric on social media. And so now, you know, there's this incredible clashing over that. So USC's decision announced yesterday is resulting in backlash as a result of this. Bill Malusian at Fox News said USC announces it's canceling its main stage commencement ceremony. Comments shut off. Brutal for the class of 24. Likely didn't get a high school graduation during COVID in 2020. And now won't get a traditional college graduation. So Mark Thiessen is a Fox News contributor. He said this whole thing, just a disgrace. Have the graduation and arrest anyone who disrupts it. Yeah, there are pretty solid arguments to be made. So as we talk about the protests, let's talk about Emerson. The Boston police, Emerson in College in Boston. You've got the mayor of Boston reacting after more than 100 people were arrested there 4 police officers injured. This happened early yesterday morning. So 108 protesters were arrested, 4 police officers injured, and the mayor said she spent Thursday morning reviewing Boston police body cam video from officers who had been there, and she was supporting police. So she said she had been in talks with the university and student protesters about the space they were occupying, possible fire and health hazards in that area. In the end, though, the mayor says she supports her police department and the way they handled, you know, the arrests that occurred because he had people who refused to leave the area. And again, this is the mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu. She said, "We have to be a city where everybody is safe. That is my primary mission. I know that events happening around the world are incredibly painful. We have to be a community where everybody can express their views safely." Meanwhile, you had over a dozen people arrested at an Israel protest at Ohio State University. And students, along with faculty, set up tents outside the student union. And things went sour there. One junior at Ohio State University said she and her roommate were nearly arrested as she helped form a circle around the encampments. And she said, "People of Columbus, look at how your cops treat people. Oh, they're all trying to make this about police. Yeah, this is all about police." No, it's not. No, it's not. What we have seen is, look at what's going on at Columbia. It'd be a great example. What we've seen is universities, police, universities in particular, have got very firm guidelines, make it very, very clear. And you've got protesters who think those guidelines don't apply to them. So the rules for thee, but not for me. That's what we have seen this week. So also at the University of Pennsylvania, you've got protests that have been going on there, encampments taking place. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said yesterday that any anti-Israel protesters on Florida college campuses could face expulsion, he said. He told a group of people at a Strengthening Florida event. He was talking about these pro-Palestinian demonstrators. He said they're taking over bridges. They're taking over roads. And he said, "You don't have a right to do that." He said, "Someone may need to pick up a child somewhere, and you're just going to commandeer the road because you have this ideology," he said. And he talked about a group trying to do that in Miami, and he said in 10 minutes they got dragged off the road. And he said, "We're not going to tolerate that, blocking roads, so on bridges, so on." He called demonstrators who protest on behalf of Hamas absurd. He said that chasing Jewish students around and not letting Jewish professors into certain places isn't free speech. That's harassment that violates appropriate conduct. He said anti-Israel protesters at Yale and Columbia rule the roost, do whatever they want, he said. And he said those university presidents are weak, scared, and they don't do anything. You don't do that at Florida. At our universities, we're showing you the door. You're going to be expelled when you do that stuff. And you know what? The minute people start to face consequences, you are not going to see this nonsense going on. I agree with DeSantis about that. A lot of big stories. That's just a huge story. Also, Donald Trump speaking to construction workers in Midtown Manhattan earlier this week, as you know, on his way to trial proceedings. And he was saying, we will make a play for New York, Trump said. And he is considering renting out Madison Square Garden for a big rally, which I would love to see. So he's considering that. So with Trump in New York and, of course, the media there, Newsmax, Donald Trump yesterday, he made a surprise visit to a Manhattan worksite. Trump did. And construction workers, obviously, there. And so Newsmax was there. And Newsmax, and this is one of the, again, you know, Trump had been talking to these construction workers prior to the trial getting underway again yesterday. And so Newsmax approaches one of these construction workers, and he says, what's your message to President Joe Biden? And the guy says, F you. That, he's not saying that to the Newsmax reporter. That's his message for President Joe Biden. F you. Also, we'll talk about this morning. The this is a story from Axios. Okay, this left-leaning Axios. And the headline of the, they did a poll, and this was, excuse me, they are reporting on a new Harris poll. And Axios, in this story, the headline is, America warms to Trump's harshest immigration plans. And the first sentence of the story says, half of Americans, including 42% of Democrats, say they'd support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants, according to a new Axios Vibes survey by Harris Poll. Half of Americans say they would support mass deportations. We've got to talk about this. It's just huge news, I think. The issue of the border and this administration and their policies on the border, I think Americans across the country have seen the effects of this. They understand what's going on despite the denials of Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security. I know that's a laugh, but that's his title. Mayorkas, of course, for the longest time denying that was there was even a crisis that was taking place. So now you have got that situation has been allowed to just explode to a point where polls showing, and these are left-wing polls by Axios and Harris, these are left-wing polls that show that Americans don't want this. They don't want it. So imagine what the reality actually is out there and what the feeling of many Americans actually is. I don't think these left-wing polls very accurately capture what's really transpiring and what people are, the real reactions that are out there. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail. And then finally, I think this is a big story, especially because we have talked about TikTok and whether TikTok would have to divest unless they find an American owner. The owner of TikTok, ByteDance, said they would rather shut down than find an American owner. They'd rather shut down, says ByteDance. And that's a look at the big stories this morning.